Hey, good afternoon. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd. Woof, I almost forgot my own name there for a minute. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd with you. Art Speak Radio, this is what you're listening to on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in, making us a priority, listening to us online at kkfi.org. Yes, thank you so much. I want to tell you, we have another room full of very talented people today. We've got writer, poet, performer Jeanette Powers. We have a librarian from the Lawrence Public Library and writer Dan Coleman. And then we have artist, musician Daryl Chamberlain, and he's here with a group of students, music students. And we're going to hear all about the group that he brought in today. And I'm happy that you've tuned in. Yeah, so there you go. I want to tell you that, Daryl Chamberlain is a member of the Light in the Other Room and the Mid-America Pastel Society, which he also serves as a secretary. He is the director for the Artists for Life Project, which was a 2014 Rocket Grant. He was a Rocket Grant recipient in 2014, and he is a self-taught artist. Now, he studied technical illustration and drafting at Grayson College and was a two-dimensional artist and a sculptor. His artwork has been shown in places and all over the world, all over the country, and he has a long-standing history of involvement in community-based projects that span the fields of art, music, and robotics. So I want to welcome him to the program. So thank you so much, Daryl Chamberlain, for coming in today. You brought members of the St. James A. Flat Youth Orchestra, right?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. So thank you so much for coming in. Tell us about St. James A. Flat Youth Orchestra.
The St. James A. Flat Youth Orchestra is an idea whose time had come. And it came about because of my concern about the diminishing of music instruction in the Kansas City mm-hmm. School District. And so many kids were coming to me and saying that I sure wish my school had a music program. Well, the music director at St. James United Methodist reached out to me because he knew I had been working with kids in the past. And so he asked if I would come to his church to develop a youth orchestra there. And that seemed like two people who had the same dream, because I had been collecting musical instruments to build a youth orchestra. And so we came together, we discussed it, laid out a plan of action, and in February of 2016, we began our first classes.
Wow. You know, I think it's such an important element to anyone's education, the musical component, because you can learn so much, not only just musically, but about discipline. It helps in other areas of your education.
Some of the statistics are astounding, where music instruction helps with spatial reasoning, which is reasoning and problem solving that you're going to do over a period of time. It helps with the mathematical abilities. We do know from the statistics that music students have a very low incidence of behavior problems, drug abuse, teen pregnancies, and a study done by a university in Texas found that 66% of the people who are admitted into medical school have music study as a background study versus only 44% had chemistry as a background study. And so music study is powerful.
It is. And unfortunately, because of school budgets and all that, it seems like music programs usually are the first programs to get cut, arts and that sort of thing. So you're providing a wonderful service to the community and for our youth. Music is so important. You know, and you might just think, well, you know, no, it's not. But again, you just address some of the statistics.
Well, what we do know is that music is at the core of what it means to be human.
Yeah.
And what we find is that when music is missing from people's lives, they demand it.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. All the things that we expect to find music in, if we don't find it, we don't patronize those things. Think about Star Wars and Darth Vader, and he's entering into the room and take away the Imperial March. And he just walks in the room breathing. What do you have?
You know, and it's interesting that, you know, some people don't really consider that. I guess it's so ingrained in our brains. We kind of have that expectation that, oh, it's always going to be there.
Of course, we shop by music. We play by music. Yeah. Well, of course, we dance by music. Music is in everything we do.
I love that. Would you introduce the students that you brought today? And if you all kind of come a little bit closer to the microphone, you can say hello. So,
yes, we have an exciting group of students. We're teaching strings, brass, woodwind, and percussion. And so I have Ella Quinn, who is a violin student.
Say hello.
We have Hananiah Quinn, who is cello.
Hello.
And Micah Quinn, who is violin, but she recently asked if she could switch to viola.
Oh,
hey.
And then we have our percussionist, Jackson Winsett Jr.
Hi.
I'm so glad you all are here. Yeah.
And I want to underscore that we are teaching formal music classes, and that in doing so, I'm referring to the state standards for music teachers as set by the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. Mm. And then, of course, we add some things as well as we see fit as well. But they are learning the formal side of music, and let's prove them. I'm going to put you on the spot. If I were to ask you that there are four sharps in the key signature, I want you to give me all four in the correct order.
F sharp, C sharp, G sharp, and D sharp.
What if I said there were six sharps in the key signature?
F sharp, C sharp, G sharp, D sharp, A sharp, E sharp.
Even that is beautiful. It's a musical, isn't it?
Yes,
really?
It is.
Yeah.
They are learning music formally, and we hope to reach out to other students in the community that are looking for a formal music education where they can grow and exercise their talents in instrumental music.
And I understand it's your goal to teach them how to read music.
Yes. We don't want to teach by rote, but we want them to be able to read the music so that they can go out and interface with any institution out there in the world, any orchestra, wherever they want to go. We want to give them the foundation by which they can go and do whatever their mind imagines.
You know, and Daryl, we're going to just take a real quick break, only because I want to play a snippet of the music that you brought, and then we'll talk a little bit more about that. So here we go. So we're talking about a full orchestra, right, that you're putting, that you've put together in the community. Yeah.
Yes, we're building a full orchestra. And so we're telling folks, get your kids involved. Bring them on out and get them connected. I've got plenty of instruments.
And thank you for that snippet, because, you know, I think so many times I don't know if people really understand what it takes to learn an instrument and to be able to not only play the instrument that you have chosen or was chosen for you, in my case, but also how to relate to the other orchestra band members, too. I mean, it's a real learning, you know, process.
It is. There's a part where we come into it knowing what we know. But then there's another part where we have to learn, because our classes are unique in that if I was teaching in the public school system, everybody would be grouped by grade level. Mm-hmm. And so pretty much that's going to group them also by skill level for the most part. Yeah. But in our case, we're not grouping them by age or grade level. Mm-hmm. And so the skill levels vary. Mm-hmm. And that's the real challenge. And so I have to rely on a lot of differentiation in our learning styles so that, or our teaching methods, so that we can reach the various skill levels.
You know, I want to go one by one and, again, share with us what instrument you played. And if you want to start, go ahead and tell us your name, the instrument, and kind of how you got started and what you like best. You know, what are some things that you like?
Well, my name is Jackson Alexander Winsett III, and I am the percussionist for the A-flat Youth Orchestra. I'm usually on the snare drum and the bass drum, but the other instruments that I use are like tambourine, cowbell, the toms, mm-hmm. and the part I like most about being in this group is that the music we make is one of a kind. It's not like music you would hear on regular radio stations uh-huh. or music that you would look up on the internet.
So, for instance, what songs are
Songs like "Cloudy Day"? That's my favorite song that we play.
I compose.
Oh, terrific!
I do compose a lot of the music that we do. Although we do some of the standards as well. But by composing the music, I can make the music specifically fit our group and our unique needs.
That's terrific. And so "Cloudy Day" is one of your favorites. What are some others?
My other favorites are "Spring Dance," "Bless Your Name."
That's what we just heard, right?
Yes.
Yep.
And you were a part of that?
Yep, I was doing the bass drum and the toms.
That's beautiful.
But, yeah, "Cloudy Day" is my all-time favorite. Mm-hmm. It's not... Like "Cloudy Day," it's not a sad "Cloudy Day." It's a happy-ish "Cloudy Day." Mm-hmm. Like Mr. Chamberlain told us this. Like sitting out on the porch while watching a butterfly fly by. You know, it's just really fun. It's not going to rain when it looks like it's going to, but it's a happy "Cloudy Day." And I'm a "Cloudy Day" person. Like those happy "Cloudy Days" are my favorite days.
I'm with you. I am so with you on that.
They're just days when I feel just relaxed and at peace.
Yeah. Have you taken up a glockenspiel? Have you ever played a glockenspiel with the little... It's like a chime. It almost sounds like a chime, the sound of that, and it's...
We'll have to get one.
Than a xylophone.
If someone wants to donate one to it, we'll love it.
Yeah,
played a xylophone before one of the songs. I can't remember which song we played, though. But I did play the xylophone at one point. I also played two other instruments, but my lungs weren't really developed enough yet. Mm-hmm. I played trombone and trumpet at one point. My arms were too short for the trombone, and then my lungs weren't developed enough for the trumpet.
For now.
So I just took up the drum, the percussion instruments, and it's really fun to play.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm, and you play cello?
Violin,
yeah. Tell us your name again.
My name is Micah, and I play violin in the 8-flat orchestra. And how I got started, really, I've always spent my life sitting back and watching all these other people my age, like young people like me, doing all these great things with instruments, and specifically the violin. And I just thought to myself, if they can do it, then, I mean, why can't I? So, and one of the best parts about the orchestra is just the atmosphere. You've got all these different personalities, all these different instruments, all these different people who are coming together and just doing something that they love. So that's why.
Yeah, and you're a part of that, so that's terrific.
Yeah.
Do you find the violin a little bit difficult to play? I understand it's one of the most difficult instruments.
I definitely think it's definitely a challenge, definitely, because it's all about technique. You have to have the perfect technique, and you got to make sure your fingers are where they need to be. One little thing could really throw off the whole feel of what you're trying to play, or just everything. So, but it's a great instrument. It's a great instrument to play.
Yeah, it's really versatile. I mean, you can get so many different sounds out of it, pizzicato, and
definitely,
you know, just with your mute and all that. Mm-hmm. So, what are some of your favorite tunes to play?
Again, like Jackson said, "Cloudy Day" is definitely my favorite because I love how well each instrument goes together in that song, and how the tempos are different, the things change, and some instruments come in and some go out. I just love the shifting and the changing and the differences.
Yeah, they have a real passion here, don't they?
We all do. You'd have to come out and be with us on a Saturday morning when we're really going at it. It's a wonderful experience.
And that's when you pull the group together on Saturday mornings?
Yes. I do three classes. I do a beginning strings, but we no longer have beginner strings because I'm telling them they're not beginners anymore. They're going to be merged into the regular string class. So we have beginning strings, regular strings, and brass and woodwind and percussion together.
That's huge. I mean, that's really huge. That's a full orchestra.
We have the pieces, and we just need to get the rest of these instruments in the hands of some kids that we can fatten it up and build it out.
Yeah. And will you tell us your name and again?
My name is Hananiah Quinn, and I got started playing another instrument that I only play during the school year because that's like my favorite instrument out of the ones that they offer. Uh-huh. And I always wanted to play a string instrument because I thought it was so cool how everyone was just, I mean, it sounded so good.
Yeah.
It just is so bassy and deep, so that's why I chose cello.
Because you know how to read the music, can you, as a cellist, can you play other, have you thought about playing other sort of bass instruments, like maybe electric bass, or, you know, they make a ukulele bass and all that? Is that something that...
He could easily switch to it. The bass clef is the same for all bass instruments, so he can read the bass clef.
Yeah, yeah, that's terrific. And tell me some of the music that you like.
Well, my favorite is Cloudy Day Again, just because it's vibey. And then I also like God Rest You Merry Gentlemen that Mr. Chamberlain put together.
Yeah, we need to get back on that one for this Christmas.
Yeah. You know, it takes a lot of practice. And it seems like perhaps you don't have much of a problem practicing because you seemed very interested in the music and performing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do practice. Yeah. We outline what they need to practice in the lesson, and they come back the next week, and they master whatever was challenge that was handed to them. And so I'm really pleased with that and impressed that they do that.
And then lastly, we have Ella on violin. So,
Hi,
honey. How did you come to play the violin?
So music has always been really big. And I think like most people, I did do a little bit of piano when I was younger, and I hated practicing. But I left piano for a couple of years, and then I realized I started missing playing music. Except this time I wanted to do something that I really liked, and I really like string instruments because, like you said, they are very versatile, and there's so many different things you can do with different instruments. And for me, it was a hard choice between cello and violin because, I, like Hananiah said, I really enjoy the deep sound of the cello and the way that it, like, moans. But then I also like the violin because it kind of has a happier sound almost. I mean, it can be sad too, but it's in a higher range, so it's associated with happiness. So I ended up choosing the violin, and I've really enjoyed it. It's been kind of a challenge for me because my fingers don't always want to stay where they're supposed to stay, and sometimes they go wander around, but I really enjoy it.
And I think it's, I think it's really difficult to stay in tune and really find that true placement. Mm-hmm. I played violin for a number of years. I had electric violin at one time and sold it. But I always found that I got so much enjoyment playing the violin. Mm-hmm. The only thing with that, but fortunately you have the piano background with violin. You don't really learn chords, say, like you would with a piano. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, if you've just tuned in to ArtSpeak Radio, I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. I'm talking to Daryl Chamberlain, who is the founder of the St. James A. Flat Orchestra. He's a terrific community activist, artist, a musician. We also have in the studio his students, Hananiah on cello. Hello, Hannah. Hello, Hannah. Hello.
Hello.
Looking over there. Jackson on drums.
Hi.
Ella on violin.
Hello.
and Mika on the other violin.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm so glad you all are here with us. Please, Daryl, if you could share with our listeners information about the St. James A. Flat Orchestra. If people are interested or want to find out more, a website or social media, can you share that with us?
Okay. If you have a student or a child that wants to be a part of this orchestra or take music lessons, then you'll want to call the church at 816-444-5588.
And Mom's in the background going, here's the numbers. Say hello, Mom.
Hello.
She brought all of these wonderful children here to the studio.
And I'm glad that she came, because a part of what makes an orchestra strong and effective is the parental support.
Yeah,
and we've got some
that.
Really great parents that back us up as we go forward. And that's how we've been able to make it and be successful at what we're doing.
I do want
to also underscore that those who have children who have no music training whatsoever, we have music fundamentals class to start you from scratch, to where we'll show you what to do and get you acquainted with the rules and the language of music, and then we'll connect you with an instrument, and there you are playing.
Yeah, I love that. And this is this orchestra has been around for 2 years?
1 year.
One year
and a couple of months.
Two months. Yeah. And this is in the basement of St. James United Methodist Church.
Yes, you'll find us in the Michael Charles Choir Room down in the basement.
And what is the address on that?
It's 5540 Wayne in Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay. You know, and I want to ask you a very important question, and that is a wish list. So the St. James A-flat Orchestra, what's on that wish list?
More students.
And the reason, because
we want to turn this into a full-size orchestra. Mm. This is a community orchestra that we're building, and as we do that, we'll be able to proudly say this is something that we did,
we built with
our own effort, skills, and tenacity.
I love that. There's a sense of ownership, a sense of pride in that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the students get to see this thing grow. They've come into this thing, and sometimes I say, if we continue to do this, something is going to happen. I think I said, if we continue to get better, we'll eventually be on the radio. And some of them said, yeah, that sounds like adult fluff, but here we are on the radio.
Yeah.
I said, if we continue to get better, somebody's going to put us on television, and next month we'll be on television.
Terrific.
And so things are really happening for them, but they deserve the credit because they're doing the work. They're earning the rights that they are receiving, and that's part of the message we're teaching the kids, that as you work hard, you earn what you get, and the reward will come.
Yeah, you're right. And if I can quote you, I want to this article that I downloaded from the Kansas City Star, and I don't have the date on this, but an orchestra is a community with a common goal, playing good music. And I love that quote from you, Daryl. You know, next time you come back to the radio station, bring your orchestra. I know it was a little bit difficult trying to gather people in the summer with so many things, different things vying for your attention, but we're so fortunate to have this group here today, and for you, Daryl, for doing all the good work that you do in the community, teaching music, opening doors to our youth in the Kansas City community. So thank you.
We plan to come back, and when we do, we'll bring the whole gang and we'll fill this
place
up.
We're going to have to knock out that wall and fit you all in. Now, do you have any upcoming events that you want to mention? Or
we'll be playing on the fifth Sunday at St. James United Methodist of this month. And we're working to where we'll be playing at least quarterly, but we will eventually get to where we're playing every month there at the church.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't have a date set, but we are planning to do something special for the Christmas season.
Hananiah
mentioned the God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. We worked on that last year and couldn't perform it because we got iced out. The ice storm hit us.
Yeah.
But it's the Mannheim Steamroller, God Rest Ye Merry married, gentlemen.
Yeah, oh,
so
wow.
They love it. I love it. It's a great song.
That, and it's got to be pretty complex. I mean, it's...
Oh, you know, yes, yeah. It is. And it's got some challenges in it, but they're up to it.
You're all up to it. You know, I want to finish out by saying, is there anything else that you want to add to the interview that I didn't mention? Any shout-outs or anything?
Well, shout out to my mother. My father's passed on, but yeah. All of this comes from them. The art, the music that you see in me comes
Bless
from my
heart.
Mother.
Yeah.
My community work comes from my father, and I can't say enough. Mothers and fathers are special and important in our lives, and that's what makes our program special are the mothers and the fathers who get these kids here on time and do the various things behind the scenes that need to happen to make us a successful orchestra.
I believe that's true.
Also, I need to really especially give a shout out to St. James United Methodist,
yeah.
because St. James is a working church. They mm-hmm. reach out to the community, and it's one of the few that I see that are able to take that dare and touch people and touch mm-hmm. lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so for Pastor Dr. Emmanuel Cleaver, I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be working with these kids. And it wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for them reaching out.
Beautiful. Could you just one more time give us the phone number or contact information for listeners?
Yes. Call the church at 816-444-5588 if you have a student that you would like to see playing in this orchestra. If he's currently playing, then we'd love to have him. We'll plug him in right away. If he's not playing and just needs a place to start, we'll start him from scratch.
Or if someone wants to donate an instrument, could they do it there?
You probably would need to call me at 816-606-9542.
Terrific. Thank you so much, Daryl Chamberlain. Thank you, Hananiah. Thank you, Jackson and Ella. Thank you, Mika. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing your stories with us. And we'll be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. You want to say goodbye?
Bye.
We'll be right back. I ain't mad at nobody. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, and you're listening to ArtSpeak Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in with us today. You know, we've got just a real treat for you. Up next, we've got Jeanette Powers. She curates a generative performance art venue, Uptown Arts Bar, and she's an acquisitions editor for KC-based indie press EMP Books. She also co-directs the arts nonprofit Chameleon Arts with legendary printmaker Hugh Merrill and is treasurer grant writer for KC's annual Small Press Fest. She is the author of 6 books of poetry, including her newest release, Don't Lose Your Head, through EMP this year. And she's an alumni resident of Osage Arts Community and the Lemon Tree House, and can most often be found Riverside with her hound dog, Ollie Mass. And she's got an experimental book of poetry and drawings called Don't Lose Your Head, with a book release tonight. Hello, my friend Jeanette Powers.
Hello. Thank you for having me so much.
You bet. This Don't Lose Your Head, experimental book of poetry and drawings, it revolves around the concept of childhood trauma and its effects on adult life. So let's talk a little bit about the book, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I thought it was so interesting what Mr. Chamberlain kind of ended on, and it is really the perfect place for us to begin, where he said the mothers and fathers are so important. And that, of course, was for this incredibly positive community-building aspect of the orchestra.
Right.
Whereas in my case, and I'm over 40 now, and it's really the first time I've been open about how I came to be. That's mm-hmm. just what it is. How do we come to be? And the import of my mother and father in that. And it wasn't necessarily a pretty story. It's not the worst story. It's mm-hmm. just my story.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is about the impact of my rearing, my mm-hmm. childhood in the adult life, because at a certain point I just came to this realization where the negative behaviors in my life and the things that are difficult and the depressions, they have this space of beginning
mm-hmm.
and it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, realizing that is the cure. And then this book is really the exploration.
Yeah. You know, is there something cathartic about, creating a book like this of poetry and drawings? I mean, is there something sort of healing or just a release?
It is. I kind of like to use the word discovery or revelation.
Okay.
Revelation's my current favorite word.
Uh-huh.
Because how do you live with trauma? Is there healing? Is that even that something we should be aiming for?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the right word for me? And for me, it's more a peacefulness and an at rest about a thing, an acceptance of facts. That's actually really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's about just an acceptance of what is without putting expectation upon that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you can get to that space, then it's more like you're not healed because there's always going to be new struggles.
Sure.
But you are more confident and you're able to put those things, to make the things in your world happen that you want to happen, rather than having like knee-jerk reactions because of past trauma.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because, you know, I think perhaps there are writers out there that would not want to have that revelation, not want to sort of be faced with the reality of trauma and that, and perhaps, you know, go in the opposite direction.
A central aspect of the book is this sentence, "Why can't you see your face?" And inside of that is can't face.
Yeah.
And I think it's almost like people want to be happy. People want to be peaceful. People want to have stability and good lives and feel proud and do things that are joyful. But then really, it's, in my opinion, it's what you can't face that prevents that or impinges upon that. And so why can't you see your face? It is very difficult to look inward. And I wrote the book, surprisingly, it was a surprise. It was like Christmas Eve morning. I was spending Christmas alone. I had my dog, and it was a beautiful morning. It was like 60 degrees on Christmas Eve last year, and there's this beautiful fog across the world. It's like 7 o'clock in the morning. I wake up, and I'm just really hurt by spending the Christmas alone. And so I took my dog for a walk, and out came fully half of that book. And I forgot what the question was.
No, you know, I think...
Oh, facing what's hard. That's
But I think however you get to the point that you're at, I mean, this sort of epiphany happened for you on that day, and it just sort of released your creativity.
Right. Yeah. And then the process of... when I got home and I have like suddenly this half of a book in my hands, and it's not a long book. And then I realized that over the time I was on sabbatical for 9 weeks of last year, I'd written the other half of the book. And when I put that set of poems with this new set of poems, they were side by side of like on the same topic, but from these interesting new perspectives. And so then as I began building over the last 7 months, I began building and putting this together and adding in the drawings and the interstitials. And the design is very experimental for the book. And there's these columns. One poem goes from start to finish of the book, and it's on the, it's in the margins, essentially. And so putting that in and figuring out why all that was important. And what's interesting to me about the process of being an artist is, again, to that word revelation. Because as you're digging in and as you're just dedicating yourself to this process, you are just going to create this book.
Right.
Suddenly, and even as I sit here and even as I speak to you, connections get made about it and it changes in front of you and more and more. And when you're really approaching truth, and in my case, this is approaching personal truth. If it's good art, it'll be approaching a universal truth. And then everything just comes together and continues to grow. It's alive.
You know, as you're talking, I am somewhat thinking of an anthropologist, you know, examining the layers and you know, peeling back and sort of digging in the dirt, and then, you know, what is it that you have in its entirety?
Yes. You know? And you can never know fully in the entirety. That's definitely a part. It's never the whole story.
Well, honey, that's for book number 8.
I know.
You know? If you've just tuned in, I'm talking to writer, performer, artist Jeanette Powers, talking about Don't Lose Your Head, which is an experimental book of poetry and drawings which revolves around the concept of childhood trauma and its effects on adult life. And I do want to mention tonight at 7 p.m., she'll have her book release at the Uptown Arts Bar at 3611 Broadway here in Kansas City, Missouri. So the reading starts at 7:30. There's also an open mic. But again, congratulations, because I know you are one of the hardest working writers, creators, performers, artists in Kansas City. You really are.
Thank you. Yeah. That's a big statement. Thank
well, and not only that, you've offered so many other writers in the community the opportunity, you know, to release their chapbooks under the pop-up.
Yeah, well, I work with basically everyone. I totally don't want to do the hard work of publishing books. I just want to build books and work with poets. So yeah. I kind of shamelessly work with every small press in town and just bring them the poets that are the right fit for that press. And that's been an absolutely wonderful experience. I always say there's like 250 people in the world that actually are going to go, oh, yes, absolutely, to my personal work. Mm-hmm. It's a very small, like, new wave market. And I don't mean you guys are markets. You're not objects. You 250.
You are not a commodity.
Right, exactly. But being able to work with the other poets, now that's something where I feel I really am reaching out into the whole of the world. And there's so much brilliant work out there. And to be able to bring that to the community, I mean, I made up a word for the feeling. It's called jelly proud. Because when I, you know, like when Ryan Wilkes introduced his gender treason book, which I did, I literally felt like all of his success was my personal success because I was so proud of him and because I'd had this tiny part in making that happen. And so I feel huge with joy often.
I love that. Yeah. Well, you know, and I think that's one of the wonderful things about you is that you just don't keep this success to yourself. You send the elevator down.
Well, I believe that's the entire mission statement of the Arts Bar. And I'm working a lot with EMP right now. And one of the things I really like about them is that their real focus is not how many books of poetry or this really, really, really like going to definitely sell well book of poetry. And all those are good things to do. EMP is very much about developing emerging writers and making nationwide connections with other presses and other poets. And then really developing a community around active, hardworking poets. So that's wonderful.
That's beautiful. You know, if you would like to share any social media or website information with our listeners, feel free to do that.
I'm always Jeanette Powers everywhere. I do some social media things. You can find me there. My website, JeanettePowers.com. And my name is JeanetTTE, Powers as in magical.
Did I spell that wrong again? No, I'm just kidding.
I don't think so.
No. Yeah, I want to mention tonight at 7 p.m., she'll be at the Uptown Arts Bar at 3611 Broadway with her book release, Don't Lose Your Head. Also, if you want to find out more about Jeanette Powers, Google her on you know, on the internet, because there's so many wonderful videos and different things out there that you'll learn about Jeanette, because she's pretty awesome.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
that's
you
a
so
big
much.
Word. Awesome. Very good. Well, listen, kid, I wish you the best of luck. Do you want to read something real quick?
Oh, no.
I didn't
We're
even
good.
Ask that.
No,
like,
I'm just holding it for safety.
Because we know we can all see that on the radio, but I love you. I love you, Jeanette.
Too, so much.
So please come back and see us, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you.
We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio right after this. Hello, this is Maria Vasquez-Boyd. You're listening to ArtSpeak Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Up next, we have Dan Coleman, who's been a librarian in the public libraries for 20 years. But for the past 10 years, he's been the selector of children's materials for the Lawrence Public Library. And he's also been at the Latha Public Library. And he has he currently writes book reviews and interviews children's authors and illustrators for the Lawrence Public Libraries in the Spotlight book blog, and for several years he wrote a regular parenting column in the Lawrence Journal World. So welcome, my friend Dan Coleman.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
You bet. Just take that out. Listen, I want to say, you know, thank goodness for Facebook, because sometimes I meet the most interesting people that way, and you are one of them. I want to say that there is a group on Facebook called "Man, Look at This Thing I Saw in Lawrence, in a Lawrence, Kansas Alley," and that's how I found you. Not in the alley, though. No, because you had written this this article again. The coolest things I found on Lawrence curb since Lawrence curb, and that was last month that you had written that. And I started reading, and I thought, oh, this guy, I get him. So the article that you had written was just about things that you found yourself attracted to, the creepy dolls in the basement and all kinds of things. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, well, I wrote an article last month for the library blog. We have a blog on our homepage, which is lawrencepubliclibrary.org, where library staff writes reviews of books and movies and music. So I was reviewing a book by Allison Stewart called Junk, Digging Through America's Love Affair with Stuff. And in the book, the book starts with her and her two sisters going through her parents' basement. And I was just amazed because it was like the exact same experience that I had recently had with my sister and my mom in her basement over the past winter. She moved out of the house that she'd been living in for the past 40 years. So over the course of a few weekends, my sister and I and my niece and nephew and my mom went through all the stuff in her basement. And it was quite an adventure. We found a lot of interesting things and unusual things. The one that you mentioned there was a box which had scrawled on the side the words "creepy dolls." And when we opened it up, it was true. That is what was inside. There were a number of creepy dolls in there, most of whom didn't have their heads anymore. And the creepiest one was, if you can imagine, that like they were old dolls. So it was the kind of doll that has the way that the legs are held in is through like kind of a rubber band that comes up through the torso.
Yeah.
And so it's supposed to hook onto a hook on the on the base of the doll's head, but since the doll had no head, someone had run like a pencil across, like through the loop. Mm-hmm. So it was like a headless doll with a pencil for a head, so like horizontally. So yeah, that was kind of a sight. My sister came across something that's not in the article. She came across like a small commemorative bottle of beer that had never been opened.
Huh.
And yet...
Are you sure?
It was full.
And are you sure?
Well, I'm not quite sure, because what she found next to it was a mouse that had coincidentally crawled to that spot and just keeled over and died right there next to the bottle. So it looked as if he had maybe had like a really exciting night the night before and was just maybe sleeping it off there in my mom's basement. So yeah, we also found like a gold tooth that I guess had fallen out of somebody's mouth. They just stuck it in a drawer maybe.
Yeah.
And my grandpa was a corner grocer in Wichita, and we found his copy of Profitable Meat Cutting, which was just a nice little hardbound book there. Not a bestseller probably, but I think he must have learned quite a bit from it. There also was a brochure about how to package iceberg lettuce. So there, it was just an amazing...
Things you need to know in life, seriously,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, as part of this article that you had written, you had mentioned the hi-fi, also known as Don Draper's boombox, which I was really fascinated with, because, you know, sometimes we just don't realize how small everything's become, you know, mm-hmm. our telephones, although our TVs get bigger. But as far as the stereos, I mean, it's like, you know, you've got everything through your phone, but the stereo, did you ever set that up, as you said, set up a swanky room in my basement and listen to the Herb Albert records from my mom's house? Did you do that?
I haven't yet.
Because I want an invite.
Yeah, I know. I'll have you over when I do. The problem is I need to clean up all the stuff that I keep acquiring, which is probably one of the ways that we could have done better when we were going through my mom's house is I could have said no to a few more things. But, you know, there are a lot of books down there, so yeah. I'm a librarian. It's hard to say no to that. But yeah, that stereo was amazing. It was a stroke of luck. Like the other things in the article, mm-hmm. I found it right on the curb of a pretty busy street, and it was such a nice find. What it is is like an old Philco portable turntable uh-huh. that is meant to be carried around, but it really does weigh probably 100 pounds. So, but somebody must have just put it out there because like I saw it and pulled over and. Grabs it and you know it's what? In perfect condition.
See, this is why I like you. I'm like always looking to the curb, you know. But I did invite you here, you know, just because you're sort of an avid collector. I also want to tell our listeners that you assist with the Lawrence Public Library Children's Room and the Teen Zone, and you create sculptures to coincide with library programs. So,
I do. Yeah, I do. I have to say. Art is probably too strong of a word that I'm comfortable with. I come from a family with a pretty big art gene that I didn't necessarily get. I don't think my uncle was a well-known regional printmaker and an art professor, and my sister is an art teacher, and my cousin is an artist. Mm-hmm. So I guess you know I take writing very seriously. But as the kid in the family who never was very good at drawing, or like the art thing was kind of just like always somebody else, the thing that other people had done mm-hmm. so well, mm-hmm. like I find the fun thing about doing, like I do paper mache sculptures for right. the library to go along with programs. And we had a program this summer where we had teens build this dragon that the teen librarian Miriam Wallen and I conducted. And so yeah, this is a thing in my life that I don't take very seriously. Uh-huh, that uh-huh. I just recommend that to anybody to have yeah. like if you're interested in a creative work and you have something that you're you know like have done for your whole life, like for me, which is writing, that like mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. been my first love and primary right. interest. Then to have something that you just are like, it's fun and it's just sort of like well, it's. It's something that you just do with so little pressure, and
yeah.
it's such a joy, and I think it comes out.
Yeah. You know, I want to ask you, since we're on the subject of teen reading and books and all that, do you have any recommendations, just kind of offhandedly, do you have any recommendations? What sort of readings would you recommend for folks that are listening?
Wow, yeah. Well, you know, I just read the most amazing book that I can't stop talking about. It's called The Stranger in the Woods. The author's name is Pinkle, I believe. I have to look that up. But the title is Stranger in the Woods. And it's about this guy who, when he was like in his early 20s, he just drove to the edge of the woods in Maine and left his keys in the car and his wallet in the car. And he disappeared into the woods, and he didn't talk to anybody else for 27 years.
Wow.
So he lived by himself in the woods. Mm-hmm. All the people in this community, it was near a lake where people had summer homes. And the way he survived was breaking into people's houses, except he would never take anything valuable. He only took food, batteries.
Just sort of essentials.
Huh? Yeah, essentials. Mm-hmm. And so the people in that community sort of came to know that there was someone breaking into their house who seemed like didn't necessarily mean them harm, but mm-hmm. like he also really kind of disturbed their sense of peace and
yeah,
he was
no
still
doubt.
Kind of just violating their space. So he became known as like the hermit in the woods. So the whole book is an examination of how he was caught and mm-hmm. the repercussions for him. And it's just totally fascinating. So I can't
I'm
stop
intrigued.
Talking about it. Yeah,
yeah.
Stranger in
yeah.
the Woods.
You know, we're winding down this hour of Art Speak Radio. And again, I'm talking to Dan Coleman, who's a librarian at the Lawrence Public Library. And Also, do you keep up with the blog, or am I a bit outdated in that?
I do, yeah. Okay. So I write regularly for our blog. It's right there on the homepage. Okay. It's called In the Spotlight, and it's a little bit lower to the right. A lot of other people contribute too, so check it out. It's great.
Yeah.
I wrote a column for the Lawrence Journal World for a few years, just about my in another side of my life. I'm a stay-at-home dad, mm-hmm. part-time, so. I wrote a lot about my kids, and I have an English degree, and as a librarian, I've had a rich reading life. But I just would like to say, like, the male writers, in my experience, like, I'm hard pressed to think of many who, over the years, have written about their kids. Mm, so mm-hmm. that's the one thing that I was trying to do in my column. So, male writers write a lot about the world of work and war and adventure and politics, but very rarely do you see them talking about writing about relationships with people who aren't their,
right.
You know, they write about relationships with people who aren't their kids, and especially like their young kids. So anyways, that's what I was trying to do with my column.
Well, terrific. Will you come back?
I would love to. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Dan Coleman, thank you so much for coming in today and talking with us. And I know you'll be back. Yes.
Thanks.
Okay, very good. I want to say thank you to Hananiah, Jackson, Ella, Mika, Dan Coleman, Daryl Chamberlain, and Jeanette Powers. Next week, we bring you contributions from the community. Where were you? Man walking on the moon when they landed in 1969. So we've got some terrific stuff for you next week. Stay tuned for Jeff Harshbarger, but it's actually going to be Mark Andrus who's filling in for Jeff Harshbarger. Jazz Afternoon, thank you so very much for listening. And, we appreciate you making us a priority. Honey, I'm coming home.